We're at Chickies and Pizza, South Philly.
It's a good return we just had
tonight.
You like that one?
Stop. Tonight and every Monday night at 6, Brandon Graham Show, followed by the Players Lounge. This week's guest at the on the Players Lounge is Landon Dickerson. Now you've been waiting for it all show long. Everyone's favorite portion of the WIP Afternoon Show, which is sponsored by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
Oh, it's game time. It's game balls time. People. I want to start off with an honorable mention, Spike, because yesterday we witnessed history. I don't know if you know this, but yesterday we saw Kenny Albert's 500th game as a broadcaster.
I mean, awesome.
Very, very memorable.
They only made it. They only mentioned it four or 500 times on the broadcast.
It was
one mention for every game he's called.
It was remarkable. I mean, and Vilma, I never heard many Vilma games. Maybe the worst I've ever heard. But regardless, congratulations to Kenny Albert for your 500th game. Kenny Moose and Goose, still the that's my favorite trio. That's my favorite trio. You can have Buck Aikman all you want. But my fifth game ball goes to Jalen. Again, no turnovers. Congratulations. It's been a while.
There you go. Nine games.
It's over. The Ripken streak is done. He did not turn the ball over yesterday. He was good with the football. He had some underthrows to AJ. But besides that, he was good yesterday. And they need him to be good if they're going to crawl their way out of this thing. So congratulations, Jalen. You get one of my game balls.
You're not getting anything out of me.
I know.
Why not?
He was fine.
Just a winner. I'll give him more credit for what he did on the last drive. The option on the read option
you
was
like
good.
That play?
It was good. Now, what did you think about the deep ball on second and 11 there? I know they're always saying you're going to ice games. But at the same time, I mean, that could stop the clock.
Yeah, but it was only second down. So they still would have been able to come back and run the ball on third down if they needed to. I don't know if the Browns still had a timeout or not.
I think they had all of their timeouts.
At that point? No, I don't think so. Because that ended the game.
They used them before the
That ended the game. No, I was okay with it, man. It connected. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. I know. As long as it connected, it's fine. It worked.
That's it.
The fourth game ball I'm giving to CJ GJ.
Oh, wow.
Not only for hold on. The big pass breakup with Quinyon. You know, someone had to go grab that ball.
Yeah, boy, Quinyon.
Yeah.
I swear.
They're trying to keep him down.
They played five games. I think he's had a chance to intercept the pass in every game.
Well, the one was his fault. He tapped down the one in New Orleans.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
He was so mad on this one.
He was really mad.
So mad. Yeah.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Whose ball is that?
He's ready to get his first interception.
Whose ball is that?
At first I thought CJ GJ may have had time to see Quinyon Mitchell there.
Yeah.
And I thought he did something selfish. I can't say that after seeing the replay.
Oh, really?
Seemed like he was just playing the ball in the air and going up for the interception himself.
So one of those things where neither guy was.
Yeah.
In the ball.
Okay. Yeah.
The real
yeah.
reason I'm giving the game ball to CJ GJ is the 3rd and 8 on the Eagles 8. He got in there, broke up the pass on Njoku.
Oh, yeah.
And that led to, I believe, the Browns eventually not going for it because they had a delay of game.
Yeah.
And
they still should have went for
they
it.
They probably still should have gone for
yeah.
it. You're making a one-score game a one-score game. It was ridiculous.
You kick a field goal there, you're still down by 4.
Yes.
Even if the Eagles go 3 and out, you still need to score a touchdown.
I know. Yeah. I know. So I give CJ credit for that one. Yeah. Third, I'm giving to Cooper DeJean. A bit of a coming out party for Cooper DeJean yesterday. He made he could have had 2 sacks yesterday. You can make the argument as their best edge rusher. And, you know, I thought he's kind of held up in coverage. He looks like at least a playmaker.
Looks like a player.
They need
out there,
playmakers on defense. And he looks like a playmaker through a couple weeks here.
Yeah. I'll just caution everybody. He will have his rookie moment.
Oh, she's sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I've already chalked it up. Quinyon's not having a rookie moment. I think he's already good.
No, he had a rookie moment against Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta doesn't drive the full length of the field of Quinyon Mitchell. There were 2 plays on
that final drive. Yes.
Yeah.
He did, but it's okay.
I love him. It was a good pick.
But all rookies have their rookie moments out there.
My second game ball I'm giving to Vic. I don't know who to give the whole game ball to defensively. I don't think there was like one standout. I thought they just generally played pretty good.
Five sacks yesterday.
5 sacks. I didn't know that was allowed. You know, Sweaty got a couple in there.
How about that? What?
Well, Sweaty. So I call him Sweaty.
I know. It's just okay.
Guys to guys. Yeah, I didn't want to do it. Whatever.
Wait, hey. We didn't mention Bryce Huff. Finally, he got
half
to the quarterback. Got a half a sack.
He has more stats now than Hassan Reddick. It's very good.
Yeah.
But Vic Fangio was aggressive yesterday. I mean, traditionally, he's not an aggressive coach. He dialed up a lot of blitzes yesterday. I've never seen the Eagles blitz that much with corners in the last 10 years, I feel like. It was shocking. So I'll give a game ball to old Vic.
Yeah, it would not have been a good look to allow that Browns offense to have any type of real sustained success yesterday.
Especially when Jerome Ford goes
out.
That
was a bad offense.
They're on their third string center, which is atrocious.
What the hell has happened to Deshaun Watson, man?
It's unbelievable.
He is cooked.
Yeah, he's cooked.
At first, I didn't realize he's cooked. He's cooked.
Yeah.
The first half, there was a first down right in the middle of the field that he just missed the throw.
Was that the one to Cooper? Yeah, that was the one to Cooper. Yeah.
It was. I would imagine one of the reasons that Vic Fangio, you know, blitzed him so much is that he just doesn't think he can handle it.
Yeah, he holds on to the ball forever.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
But the number one game ball, I think it's obvious. Come on, my guy A.J. Brown.
Oh.
I mean, A.J. Brown, they don't win that game yesterday without him. A lot of big boy plays. He's a ridiculous talent. I mean, he is an absolutely ridiculous talent. So,
yeah.
I mean, A.J. Brown comes right off with the hamstring injury off the bye, 115 yards, touchdown, and the game sealer.
Yeah.
The guy is a freak. We're lucky to have him.
Man, just needed him to shrug off that defender. Not that I had a 2-touchdown bet on him yesterday, but I'm just saying, that last play, there it is.
No, I know.
But he went down. So.
You guys are out of control. You guys only care about one thing.
Two things, but yeah.
Yeah, well,
that's part of
it's
it.
It's not midnight green you care about. It's the other green you care
that's right.
about.
Come on,
yeah, yeah. You and guys are out of control.
Two more honorable mentions that I think
what are we doing?
Yeah, well, listen.
They barely beat the Browns. How are we mentioning eight people?
Because I got a different eye for this than most people. One, I'm giving one to Fred Johnson, who I thought he had to go in and play against Myles Garrett, which is not the easiest.
It was terrifying. I know it had to be terrifying.
You know he's sitting there like, oh, damn it. All right.
Oh, Jordan.
Come
on,
Jordan.
Are you kidding me, Jordan?
Are you sure you can't? Yeah.
But, I mean, he's going to have to start for a couple weeks now that Jordan Mailata is down. And then, obviously, we know the BG show is coming up. But Brandon Graham, again, he sniffed out that end around to start the second half where I thought the Browns are kind of driving, and he nipped that right in the butt.
Another big play, and didn't that lead to the missed field goal?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what was what was more monumental yesterday? Kenny Albert's 500th game or Brandon Graham's 200th with the Eagles?
Oh, without question, BG's 200th.
Yeah, come on,
shout out to BG. Obviously, he's extending his already team record of games played for the organization that he set last year, and to be in the league long enough to play 200 games, that usually is reserved for quarterbacks, kickers / punters maybe, and you get a few positional players that last that long to play 200 games. You know, 15 years in this league, that's a long time in this league.
And he's going to add to it next year.
One more year.
This hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door to get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. A lot has happened today. Nick Sirianni apologized for yelling at the fans. Or do you accept his apology?
No.
And the offense. Who does the failure of the offense lie on? Is it Kellen Moore? Is it Nick Sirianni? Is it Jalen Hurts? 215-592-9494.
I'm blaming Kellen Moore.
Jim, I'm blaming Jalen Hurts. Jim in Mount Airy, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, Jim?
What's up, Jim?
I got an answer to that last question as far as who I feel is at fault, and it's Nick Sirianni.
There it is. Why?
Because Moore is supposed to be calling the plays, but there's a lot of plays in there that look very Nick Sirianni-ish.
So Sirianni's going in there and saying, Kellen, call the bad ones?
Well, it seems to be that way. I mean, you guys have been talking about this, you know, over the time I was waiting to get on. You know, Jalen Hurts does need to be up under center more, and they need to run the offense through the running back.
Saquon, yeah.
Yeah, Saquon couldn't get that out. Mm-hmm. So they're not doing that. They're still doing the RPO mess, and that's a Sirianni. You know, they're still throwing every other time to both wide receivers, you know. And it's crazy because they're not having success doing this.
So, in my stat
memory, every time the Eagles ran through the running back, no matter who it was, and if they were good, and we've had a couple of few ones over the years, we won.
So we're not winning
now because we're not doing that.
So, Jim, let me ask you. So you think that what is happening is after almost getting fired, having the offensive coordinator get fired, replaced with an offensive coordinator that was handpicked by the GM, told that the offensive coordinator is going to call all the plays, you think what's happening is Nick Sirianni is disobeying the owner and the general manager and going and telling the offensive coordinator what plays to call?
I think that Lurie is giving the nudge, wink, wink. Yeah, go ahead. Stay away from the play calling. I think it's with his tacit approval.
Why would you think that?
Because of the way that they're distributing the ball and how they're calling the plays. You have arguably the best running back, definitely in the NFC East. And I would argue in the NFC, but that's my fanboy coming out. All right? And you're not feeding him the ball consistently. Not all the time, but consistently. They give it to him a few times, either on the scripted plays in the beginning or at the end where, you know, there are situations. But they don't go back to it consistently. What they consistently do is try to find A.J. Brown, which is a good thing because he's a beast, okay? And, you know, they keep going back to that wide receiver tight end thing when Goddard's there. He wasn't there yesterday, so they had to distribute it more. You know, they need to run the ball more, man. I'm sorry.
He ran the ball 18 times yesterday.
Right.
Well, how much do you want him to run the ball? I just keep coming back to, like, Jim.
Do realize we only had 10 points midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They also weren't running the ball well yesterday.
Yeah, Cleveland played the run well.
Keep ramming your head into the wall for what?
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yes,
I'll give you
thank
that.
You.
But we had more games than just yesterday. And you mean to tell me every time that they give him the ball, he's not effective?
No, he's not effective every time he gets the ball, but that's fine. That's fine. It's part of it. I mean,
he was the third leading rusher coming into yesterday's game. It's not like they're not using him.
Yeah, they're using him plenty.
He's on pace for 511 touches.
I just know
Thanks, Jack. In
years past,
yeah,
when we run the ball effectively, and maybe that's the key word, effectively. Yesterday, we weren't running the ball effectively. All right, I'll give you that. When we run the ball effectively and often, the offensive line has said they get nasty. They get a chip on their shoulder because they're enforcing their will. And my green-colored glasses looks back on those games, and I see that filters down to the rest of the team. The defense gets a little bit more aggressive. The offense works better. We need to be a run-first team. Not all the time. I understand, you know, like yesterday, there are going to be games where it just ain't working. But what I don't see overall this season and the end of last season is us running the ball and relying upon our running backs. That's my opinion.
All right, Jim. Well, the quarterback's got to get under center. And I don't care how much you run the ball, this is not going to be like, you know, Army Navy, where we're running
the wing T, or they
spent $30 million a year on each wide receiver because they need to be able to throw the ball too. They need to, and their defense is not good enough to. If you're just running the ball all day long, you're going to score 15 or 20 points a game. They need to be able to score more. They need to be able to throw the ball, and I'm sure I have no doubt that Kellen Moore is part of this, but I just refuse to believe that Nick Sirianni is making Kellen Moore run the same boring offense that they ran last year. I can't believe it. I refuse to believe it. There's no way that Kellen Moore doesn't have a relationship with Howie Roseman, where if that was happening, right, he would report back and say,
this is on Will, yeah.
You know, say, hey, this is not what you told me it was going to be. Right. My name is on this, too.
Right.
You know?
I'm not able to do what I want to do in here.
Yes. Yeah. He's not. There's no way he wouldn't say anything. There's just no way. 215-592-9494. Herb in the Northeast.
Right. Finally.
Here we go.
Let me say something now about this running game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about it for the last few years, maybe 10 years. Every time they run up the middle, it's getting stopped. When they run off the tackle, they pull the guard, they run off the tackle in the tight end, there's a big hole, and they're running and they're getting 5, 9, 15, 20-yard chunks. And they had a few plays where Barclay ran the distance, went for the touchdown. So, anyway, what I want to really talk about with the fans, okay?
Okay.
What if you guys could take a poll, okay? Either your show or one of the shows or all the shows, if you could take a poll, okay, and ask the people, how many Eagle fans that go to the games, okay, and sit there, pay their money and all this and that, how many of them guys got like 72,000 fans that go, sell out. Now, how many of them are gambling on the game? How many are gambling the Eagles or are they gambling the other team? Okay, then you'll know why they boo and this and that. Because they're losing their bet yesterday.
Herb, they're booing because the Eagles sucked. That's why they're booing. Well, they're not booing because they lost bets. They're booing because the team was stunk.
There's people back there sitting at the 35, 40, 50-yard line behind a bench. Some of those people got money. And I know some of them that do sit over there. But, you know, there's some people that gamble.
Yeah,
and the thing is,
I would never.
If you lose a bet, you lose a bet. That's the problem.
Just keep it moving.
Gambling.
On to the next one. So, that's what we said.
Yeah.
Herb, do you think Spike talks too much on the show?
Yeah, that's what you told me.
What's that?
Do you think Spike talks too much?
I told him that last time I saw you. Yeah, you talk too much.
But what do you want him to do? I mean, he is the host of the show.
Well, you know, you used to be the host of the show, too.
But that was, you know.
No, that's all right. He's just
interim.
Going, you know.
Well, I wonder where I learned that from, Herb.
As opposed to what Herb does.
You learned that from your old man. I was on his show on Saturday morning.
I got reports about it.
Maybe you talk too much.
He's a character, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, he's doing overtime defending his head coach, that's for sure.
Yeah, Worm is having a tough day.
The Worm is short-circuiting in his brain.
All right, Herb. Have a good show tonight.
All right. As long as Spike doesn't talk too much, right?
Yeah.
I'm not coming down tonight.
That's it. Brandon's crying right now.
I got to go out to Downingtown tomorrow.
Honestly, Herb, one of my favorite parts of the Brandon Graham Show is when we're talking on the air and you stand right in front of us and point at yourself so we can acknowledge that you've arrived.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell Brandon I'm wearing his jersey. 55.
Wow.
Great.
That's how he knows he means it.
Okay.
55.
All right.
I can't take Herb today either.
What do you mean he can't take Herb today?
He was unleashing some knowledge on us that the reason that the fans are booing, which they've done for hundreds of years, is because they're betting on the game. Like, the Eagles fans had no other reason to be upset yesterday aside from potential bets.
Well, I was booing because they were.
Yeah. You weren't there, though.
From my couch.
And also, ever since Herb told me I talk too much, I'm conscious of it. I see Herb up on the board, and I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah, well, listen, you
got to get over that.
Once you cross Spike, it's hard to get off Spike's list.
You can't deprive the people of Herb.
Has anyone been?
I can't.
No, you can't. Has anyone been on your list that you've allowed off your list? I feel like when you have your people that you are anti.
Chuck.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I mean, me and
Chuck. That was for the good of the show.
Yeah, but I mean, me and Chuck had a bad run there for a minute, and I feel like Chuck and I are getting along great now.
Yep.
You know, we let each other be ourselves. We take little shots here and there, and we're okay.
Well.
Oh, no.
No. Is
he texting you on the side?
No. Oh, just okay. You two is always simmering beneath the surface.
Yeah, there's a mutual respect.
Sure. Yeah, but we're always on edge as to when it can go overboard.
One of us will every once in a while, one of us will take a little shot. Yeah. And I'll take a little shot like Chuck.
Listen, six-year season will be a big test.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just going to call up and yell about Embiid the entire time.
Waste of time there.
Yeah.
Believe me, glad you're here for that.
Yeah. There's nothing to yell about when the guy's not playing anyway. So,
which is the right move, too, by the way.
Not playing preseason?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yes.
The thing I'm worried about. Yeah, I'm
all for load management. Get him to the playoffs, man.
This guy.
I just have my spidey sense up for the beginning of the season. That's it. I'm just there.
You do? Hold on. If you got your spidey senses up,
that
certainly is raising my antenna.
I don't like when they have done a very bad job of being clear about his injury stuff, and a lot of it is on him because he doesn't want the stuff public. But nobody has said, hey, don't worry, he'll be there at the beginning of the season.
Right.
Nobody said it. And if he's not going to be there, it's fine. If he's ramping up from the knee thing, just say it. So it's not the day before the friggin' opener that we're all excited for, and they're like, uh-oh, Joel Embiid pops up as the questionable or doubtful, and then he doesn't play, and they knew the entire time.
Yeah.
That's all.
I agree.
All right. We got a half an hour left of the WIP Afternoon Show, 215-592-9494. And then coming up at 6, the Brandon Graham Show with Mr. 200 himself. And then at 7 o'clock, the Players Lounge, this week's guest is Landon Dickerson. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
All right, cap off NFL Week 6 with a chance to win on FanDuel. In partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on tonight's game. Now, I got a same game parlay for you for tonight's Monday night football game, the Buffalo Bills taking on the New York Jets. How about let's go over in receiving yards for Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson. Let's go over in rushing yards for Bills running back James Cook. And let's throw in an anytime touchdown for Bills tight end Dalton Kincaid. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. I cried out, heaven
save me, but I'm down to one last breath. So is the Eagles offense. And really let me say.
Here now.
Yes! You see it? I was singing it!
I'm in there!
I love it! Only took us 2 months of doing it at 5:30 every day. We got them in.
A lot of people turning around at Chickies.
I love it. It's a WIP Afternoon Show.
This is what they pay for.
Yes.
It finally has worn me down, you guys. I feel like joining in on the singing.
I love
yes.
it. I saw you, your mouth moving. I was like, oh, yeah. Ike's got it.
Well, last week,
yeah,
I gave it a test run.
Yeah?
Oh, really?
You know, kind of on my own, just trying to figure out, do I really have all the words down?
Yep.
Probably got about 70% of the words. I'm not all the way there yet.
You're close.
I'm getting closer, though.
I love it.
That's when I'll step closer to the mic and you'll be able to hear me.
Yes.
I'm kind of was like in the background. Like
I saw it.
Singing it. Yeah.
Ike's a Creedsman now.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I can start learning. We're going to the concert.
Yes.
Yeah, we sure are.
Got to be ready to sing when we go.
Ike Stapp, yep.
You know, before we get back to the phones, I'm asking Ike because – Jack, I know what your opinion is on this.
Oh, okay. Is it about Jalen?
No. So Sirianni does the yell at the fans thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. Then he does the weird press conference. He did apologize today. Mm-hmm. I just keep coming back to the place where I don't think there is any way that it works out with him, that it feels like it is untenable. And the success that I think that they would need to have this year to make it all feel okay, I feel like is unlikely to have. Do you think he, because it feels like, forgetting about anything else, it seems like it is affecting him in a way that is not positive. And it's not just this week. You know, he started off in the beginning pressers, even the first week of the year, he was a little snippy about what was his play call and what wasn't his play call.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if his personality will allow the kind of criticism and specific, you know, role he has within the team to be successful. I find it hard to believe that he can rescue this.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a lot easier when they win games to justify having him here. And I think that's ultimately what it's really going to boil down to. I think if the team, let's say the team were to miss the playoffs, then he certainly probably isn't back.
Right.
If they miss the playoffs in its entirety, he's probably not back. But if they make the playoffs, I guess how they get there does matter. If they're limping into the playoffs like they did last year, I think the Eagles, it would be hard to justify why bringing him back another year, I guess. Here's what I get. I get there's two different sort of outlooks on Nick Sirianni being here. And they both matter. Unfortunately for me, I'm not in the position where I have to make the choice. Because I think in the building, it's pro Sirianni. I think his players like him. They like playing for him. He's liked around the building. He doesn't have this culture there where people are, you know, he's not approachable or, you know, the way it was when Chip was here. You know what I'm saying? So there is something there that works in his favor. But there's obvious discourse with the fan base and whether or not they are in favor of having him here as the head coach. And when you're an owner, you certainly want both. But if you win, it's easy for the owner to justify having you here.
Even if there's a bad, even if the fans don't like
even
if they're
the fans
winning.
Don't
right,
love
right,
yes.
Right.
It's easy to justify having you here. Go ahead.
Well, it's just, I think it's so interesting because I think the Phillies like Rob Thompson too.
Yeah.
But we all agreed after they lost, it was probably time to move on from him.
Yeah, I'll say to that, I don't believe the Phillies believe that. So the players loving Rob Thompson, the organization loving Rob Thompson, that's probably going to save Rob Thompson.
I agree.
Even though everybody, or not everybody on the outside, but some on the outside are calling for him to be out. And you're right, it is very similar. Their path to success isn't identical, but it's similar.
It's pretty close.
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
Right? It's very similar. And I think what's happening now, at least, I don't know how genuine it is. It does matter that he and Jalen can coexist. That does matter. So having the support of the quarterback certainly helps his case as well.
Yeah. Unlike
what happened up in New York.
Yes, and that was the – if Robert Saleh was eventually going to get fired, but Aaron Rodgers not being a Saleh guy certainly didn't do him any favors.
Mm-hmm. It made it easy for the owner to move on from it.
Yep. I think the thing that you touched on there around – and I don't want to – I don't actually don't think it's just fans. I think there's a lot of noise, and it – between national media,
I agree,
local media – fans, all this stuff.
Yeah, it's not, you're right, it's not just fans.
Yeah, and I think there's this inertia to that noise.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa.
There's this momentum.
Tone it down.
There's this momentum to that noise that makes it very, very difficult to, one, operate the football team in a, regardless of what Donovan said. Donovan said, just ignore it. I don't know that
that's hard to do.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
So I think there's all of the noise around it that make it, for one thing, just sort of uncomfortable from an organizational perspective to do your job every day. And I think for Howie and Jeffrey, that's another thing that they have to at least exist with, even if they're not dealing with it. But the second thing is just that noise making it harder to run a football team. And I think, because I think it affects everyone. I think it affects the players, that noise. It affects the coaches, that noise does. And I think it just makes it hard for them to accomplish. This week just being a perfect example. Mm-hmm. As we were saying, if they sneak by the Browns, we would have a temper tantrum about it on Monday. Yeah. But there certainly wouldn't be a national conversation about it. And that our conversation would dissipate. But what it's elevated to is this whole national conversation about whether the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles is even capable of doing the job. And that's a very hard thing to come back from unless they have some sort of really, really high-level success, I think, or undeniable success. And they haven't, at least so far, at least after five games, they haven't portrayed themselves as a football team that can quiet that noise with their play.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right there. You're right. But they can't. That's the thing about being a player and being on that side of it. They actually can affect the outcome and have an impact.
They can.
Like, they could turn this whole thing around. This whole narrative can be changed around. I think the Cowboys got off to a slow start last year. Didn't they get off to somewhat of a slow start?
Well, the Bengals get off to a slow start every
year. Well, I'm just going to focus on the Cowboys. I know their coach is always in the
crosshair.
Is he getting fired sort of thing. And next thing you know, Dak picks up his play, the Cowboys pick up their play, and Dak finishes as runner-up MVP. You know what I'm saying? But early in the season, they didn't look all that great. So I'm just saying, they can do it. Now, will they do it? Only time will tell. But there's enough games left. It's not like there's four games left. There's literally 12 games left to go. There's a lot of football left to be played.
And I think the thing that you said is most important there is that if the players want Nick Sirianni to stay as head coach, look, all of the platitudes and press conferences is nice. When Brandon comes on the show and says how much he loves Nick, it's nice. When Jordan Mailata comes on the show, says how much it's nice. The best thing they can do is be good. To save his job or to put him in a better position, the best thing they can do is execute, is prepare and execute and be a good football team. The press conference stuff is great, and I think it's helpful, but I think ultimately if they really want to save him, they should do what the Cowboys, I mean, easier said than done, but ultimately what the Cowboys did to help their head coach is win.
They play better.
They play better.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. So let me ask you this. If they finish 10-7, 11-6, I don't know if they play Detroit first or Minnesota first on the road in their building and they look reputable.
Competent.
Competent.
Yeah.
Do you fire him then? Because here's the thing. First year in this offense, you got a young defense. Do you want to keep continuity together for another year?
If they win 11 games,
it'd be hard to fire a coach.
Yeah, I can't even get my brain in a place where I think they're going to win 11 games. I mean, if they win 11 games, it means they lose six. It means they only lose four more games the rest of the year. It seems very difficult to me, but if they do, if they turn it around and they're in a place where they end up 11-6 and they lose to...
Or 10-7 and win a playoff game.
Yes, and lose to an elite team in the playoffs, I think he could probably save it. Because if they end up with 11 wins, it would mean that at some point this year, the Eagles are going to win three or four games in a row, which seems impossible right
now. It's almost better when you start off sluggish and finish strong.
Yes.
Because there's a case to be made. Injuries early in the season. Took a while to get used to the offense. We finally started clicking around week 9, week 10. Look how we look the second half of the season. Let's continue to build on that going into next year. So I'm just giving you sort of scenarios where I could see him back here if they make the playoffs.
215-592-9494. Lori in Limerick, you're on WIP. What's up, Lori?
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to talk to you all.
Hey, Lori.
Hey. I listen to you every single day.
Thank you.
Today I felt so compelled to call in because So Nick Sirianni is just like a thorn in my side, and I had to just be vocal about this. Yep. But I read, I think John Clark posted on Twitter yesterday that he called a defensive play, and then when it didn't work out, he's like, oh, my God. And then he called offensive plays, like, all the time, like, you know, this whole season so far. So it's like, can I thought he was supposed to be a culture guy, like a Wizard of Oz type thing. Like, he just needs to sit in his little playpen with Big Dom watching him. That brings me to my next point here. When you watch a football game, you never see bodyguards in every scene of, like, a Nick Sirianni clip, an Andy Reid. Like, you don't see bodyguards. So, like, does anyone ever talk about, like, is there, like, are there, like, threats on his life or something? Like, so, Ike,
yes.
Is that normal to have bodyguards around coaches nonstop trying to get airtime?
Well, he's really the team security. I don't know if I would necessarily call him the bodyguard, but I guess he is like a bodyguard. You know what it is? There are team securities for every team. They just aren't as big as Big Dom.
Or as famous as Big Dom.
Yes.
You don't know what you're looking at when you
right.
look at another
side. Yeah, it's hard to recognize who those other guys are. Hell, if you even go back to who was there before Big Dom. Well, who was there before Big Dom is Butch.
Oh, right.
Butch was an older guy, a retired police officer sergeant, who was the team's head of security. And this guy, Butch, was in his 60s. And he doesn't have the size of where you absolutely notice him on the sideline. Big Dom is one of those rare figures that you see all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, he's definitely
hard to miss him.
He's definitely the most famous NFL team security guy in history, certainly.
Yes.
Lori, I think the first thing you mentioned, I think what is happening here, and it's having the reverse effect, is I don't think any of us believe that Nick Sirianni is telling Vic Fangio what plays to run. And I think it's actually very, probably very limited, the number of times where he has told Kellen Moore, more than maybe it's a few times. I think what's
on fourth down.
Yes. I think what's happening is, I think in his effort to take the bullet for bad things, is that it is sort of working in the wrong way, because he is taking the bullet for things that people don't think should be his responsibility anyway. So instead of it looking like he is guarding the coordinators, it's looking like he's doing things he shouldn't do. And I would, he didn't ask for my advice. I gave him some advice earlier. Vic Fangio can handle the pressure of people criticizing Vic's.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't care. Yeah. And you know what? Kellen Moore is a grown-up too, and Kellen Moore can handle the pressure of it. So if I think it's one thing for Nick to do that for players, I don't think he has to do that for coordinators. And I think it's making him look bad, and it's making his coordinators look bad.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you listening, Lori.
Thank you, Lori.
Always. Have the best night ever.
All right, you too. She just opened up with, Nick Sirianni is a thorn in my side.
Yeah, I got to admit, he's... The amount of text messages I get during the game, man.
About Nick.
Yeah, just people just questions.
Yep.
Like, what is going on? It started with the shaved head.
Yeah, well.
When that picture came out that he had shaved his head, pretty much everybody was like, what the bleep is going on right now?
Yep, that'll do it. He looks psychotic. He looks like he's having a break.
Wait, like, was that you who said the Britney Spears thing?
No, I said
was
private.
That you, Jack?
Man.
Yeah, Jack said Britney Spears. I said he looks a Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket.
But that's just Gilio.
Yeah, and no, he's Joker.
He's Joker.
He's Joker, the other not Private Pyle. But it ended badly for Private Pyle.
You have never seen Full Metal Jacket.
No.
Oh, dude, you got to watch that.
Yeah,
it's good for the first 40 minutes.
We'll get to, you know, the second, we'll do that another time.
We don't need discourse.
You want to break down the rest of Full Metal Jacket?
Well, the second half of the movie is generally forgotten, but is a good movie. But it's basically like two movies.
Yeah, I'm totally out on the second half of the movie.
Really?
Seen it one time, I'm out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to some good things from the game right after I tell you, hey, it is October, which means that Halloween is the end of the month, which means if you have a dog or cat, you need a costume. Dogs and cats got to dress up for Halloween? Of course they do. They do in my house. There's only one place you can go for that costume. That is Dogs and Cats Rule. Now, I say one place. There are seven locations. I'll tell you where they are. They are locally owned, and they have a staff that is there to help. George Perenni, who is the lead dog, the Dogs and Cats Rule lead dog, makes sure that at every location they're there to help you whether it's a question about supplements, about pet nutrition, or whether your dog should dress up like a lobster or a bumblebee. It really depends on the dog or a cat. And winter is coming, too. Our new dog, she's from Louisiana. She's never experienced a winter, so she's going to need a coat. They have coats. They have fleeces. They have sweaters, all at Dogs and Cats Rule. And like I said, as far as nutrition, they've got everything. Local, high-quality ingredients, and the staff that can tell you what to get for your dog. Seven locations: Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, Bluebell. They're all in PA. Pennington and Princeton in New Jersey. Dogsandcatsrule.pet is the website. Shop small, shop local, shop family. 215-592-9494. Justin in Tennessee, you're on WIP. What's up, Justin?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing today, Mike?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Justin?
The Sirianni thing has been beat to death like a dead horse and resuscitated and beat again, so I ain't going to go there today. I will focus on the positive, and that was Cooper DeJean's play yesterday, how... And I agree with you, Ike, on that one where he tried to give the quarterback like a shoulder shrug, take him out. Mm-hmm. Like you said, wrap him up. You know, that wrap him up. And, yes, he is going to have some rookie moments. He is a rookie, and this is his first game play. But seeing him, like, where they moved him around so much, it kind of reminded me how they moved Malcolm and moved him around so much when he was here. He would play in that 4-2-5 system and stuff like that. So excited watching him play yesterday and seeing how well he played. The thing about it is, I'm not sure, nobody is, the severity of Darius's injury. So it's going to let Isaiah Rogers and Keely Ringo kind of get out there and see what we've got in them, because we can all pretty much, I think we can all agree that this Darius's last season here probably with all the young talent we have in
yes.
the secondary.
You know, Rogers got hurt yesterday too. I didn't know what the, that's how Ringo ended up out there. I don't know what the injury was, but Rogers got hurt too.
He came back though, so I think he cut maybe got the wind knocked out of him, because I think he took a helmet right in the chest or something. But he did come back. But Ringo, man, I know I've seen that hit he put on that cat on the sideline.
Ooh, nice.
Had to have snot bubbles coming out of his nose after that. Looked like something off the program, you know.
Yeah, we don't get to see those type of hits anymore, Justin. Yeah,
no,
we don't see too
much. I was waiting on the flag. I was like, well, they're going to say he hit him too hard. But so your thoughts on this? I mean, I know we all think we're still a playoff team. It's a long season ahead of us and everything else. But say Isaiah Rogers plays really well, and I can't remember when the trade deadline is. Would you take offers for Darius Slay, if Isaiah Rogers plays well or Keely Ringo plays well the next couple of weeks and he is available to be traded? You know, say it's not too bad an injury, something like that. What would you say to that, Ike?
I wouldn't say there's no way I would trade Slay, but you have to give me something that's impressive. So I'm going to need at least, at a minimum, a third-round draft pick for him.
Which seems... Yeah. Likely. Yeah.
Yeah, not likely. I don't think anybody would, because I think we only gave a third and a fifth one when we got him.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now, if it's a team out there that's a Super Bowl contender that their cornerback gets injured and they got extra picks, sometimes they come knocking at the door for you.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you get somebody that is a contender for a conference title or anything like that, it could happen, but my neighbor's pulled in on his hog over here. Sorry about that, y'all. Sitting outside on the porch. Huh? But anyway, y'all.
The neighbor pulling his hog?
All right.
Two-wheel hog, brother. Not no four-legged hog.
I love cocks.
Two-wheel hog.
I wasn't worried about the four-legged hog.
All right.
Anyway, I'm going to get off here and let y'all go. You've had a great show, but I'm real excited about what Cooper DeJean's going to bring. And him and Quinion, man, I think we're going to be sitting in secondary for a while, y'all. But love you, boys.
Like
I mean
it.
All right, Justin. Yep. Love you. Yeah, it looks like we got two players in the draft in the secondary.
Also, another favorite of mine, he's been injured. Can't wait for him to come back, Sidney Brown.
Oh, yeah. There was a chance he could be activated yesterday, right? It didn't happen, but.
So he should be coming back soon.
The text line is brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com.
Text line. I'll admit, it was not Coach Sirianni's best moment, but we're back in the win column, the birds are flying, and it's still baloney time. Tommy from down the shore.
Whoa, Tommy. What do we have Tommy for here today?
Well, Battle took off a little early to go to the...
I was going to say, did he go up to Turnpike?
To Bills Jets.
Oh.
Makes sense. MetLife, yeah.
Yeah. Noted Buffalo Bills fan.
Yeah. That guy jumps through tables even when there's not Bills games, just hoping to hurt himself.
Exactly
so,
right.
Yeah. What's next?
I can't believe how angry this fan base is. You angry fans should be ashamed of yourselves. It's an embarrassment to be angry for angry's sake. Angry Ted.
Fair.
That is funny. Ted was angry about being angry.
Ted was angry at everybody else for being angry.
Yeah.
Well, Big Dom has made an appearance tonight.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We had a call about Big Dom. Yeah. What's next?
Yes.
Welp, he's hurt again, so I guess I have to get ready for a presser now. Arthur Embiid.
Arthur Embiid.
Get him out there.
Poor Arthur.
Deflecting.
Yeah. Arthur's got to – you going to put the kid out there to deflect?
Oh, I mean, Nicky did.
About Nick Sirianni, yes.
What's next?
So you're telling me we can send Spike back to New York and we can start beating them again? Is this really a question? It's been nice knowing you, Spike. Sorry. Mike from Stewartsville.
Who says no?
Look, if they lose to the Giants, there's going
to
be serious conversation.
Yes, this will be on the table.
Dude, yeah.
Absolutely molly whatever by the Yankees.
Yep.
Into the Knicks. Off the Knicks, sorry.
Yeah, off the Knicks.
Into the Mets.
Into the Mets.
Yep. It's been a tough go of it.
Yep.
New York is, wow.
And I just keep getting more belligerent to the New Yorkers.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And it's not helping.
I'm scared to go to New York now.
You should be.
Yeah. What's next?
Wisdom, discernment. The worm uploading before Nick's presser.
Do you think they put a worm in Nick's?
Yesterday.
I hope they did.
Yesterday, after yelling at the fans after the game,
he
said.
They didn't do it after the game.
Yeah. Humble and hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry and humble, whatever it was.
You're very sorry.
You're sorry.
The fans win.
They paid a lot of money.
Stuff. Yeah.
The seed oil.
Seed oils?
Yeah. I cut the head off a whale. Wow. All right. What's next?
Hit me, baby, one more time. Nick Sirianni shaving his head. Na, 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 na. Text
line. So, the Brandon Graham Show is next. Celebrating Brandon's 200 games.
200.
Eagle.
Ike, are we getting a second victory in the Players Lounge?
No.
No second victory.
Not today.
I'm making this promise.
I don't think so.
For tomorrow's check. Show. Tomorrow's show.
Yes.
I am going to come up with my best reason or my best, like, what it looks like for a positive Eagles season the rest of the year. I am
going to work on that tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to put my brain in a positive blender.
Call me if you need some help.
Yeah, I might.
Call me if you need some help.
Call you like 7:03.
Yep.
Well, I'll leave here at 7, and I'll be stumped by 7:03, and then I'll call you. So we'll be back tomorrow, same time. Same place.
That's good.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, offense, maybe not all that reliable. Head coach, maybe not all that reliable. But Bradford White is reliable. When your water heater goes, and this is the same as everything in your house, you have that awful feeling in the pit of your stomach that, oh, no, I got to go figure this out. You don't have to figure it out if your water heater goes, though. Just Bradford White. Go to BradfordWhite.com. They are built to be the best. Your family deserves the best. If you're talking about, now, not just home water heater, business, your employees deserve the best, whether it's a tankless one or tank. Bradford White is going to give you the performance you expect and you deserve. The best is a water heater that's going to last a long time, I'm talking a decade at least. The best is 100% made here in the United States, and they want the best to install it as well. Bradford White, not a do-it-yourself kind of thing, because they want it done right, because they are the best. So when it's time for a water heater, all I want you to do is remember two words, Bradford White, then go to BradfordWhite.com, find a plumbing pro near you, and get one.